I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you so much for joining me on this beautiful, beautiful September autumn day. Autumn in New York. And you know what we talk about here on It's All About Food. We talk about food, my favorite subject. And so many people, when they go to eat, and most of us eat, fortunately, every day, many times, and do we think about each bite of food? I recommend when you have a moment to really reflect and think, because there are so many people connected to every bite of food we eat. Unless you're a farmer who is planting and tilling the soil and growing the plants and harvesting them and preparing them yourself, your food is connected to people all over the world sometimes. And it's mind-boggling, but it's really important, because when we realize how many people are connected to the food that we eat, it also opens the door to realizing what kind of impact we are making on the world, mostly environmental, because many of our food choices are detrimental on the environment, detrimental. So when we're eating animal foods with animals that are suffering in factory farms, there's a lot of things connected to factory farming that are devastating on the environment. We know that most of the environmental diversity and ecological problems, pollution, soil depletion, etc., is related to factory farming. And then if we're eating food that is considered conventional, love that word, or eating food which is industrial agriculture, lots of toxic herbicides and pesticides are used to create those foods, and those herbicides and pesticides are affecting the growers that are close to those toxic pesticides every day. They go home and track in those chemicals into their homes, and their kids are affected. And I bring that up because it is important to think about in every choice that we make with food. So I encourage locally grown, organic plant foods. They're good for you, they're good for the planet, and they're delicious. And I am going to be talking to two of the most incredible people in the world, some of my favorite people, so full of love and doing so much good in terms of getting fresh, local, organic, delicious, incredible food into your mouths. So welcome to It's All About Food, Barb Potenza, the founder of Candle Cafe and then later Candle 79, and co-owner Joy Pearson.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, thank you. God, I'm feeling the love coming through my headphones.
We're feeling it, too.
We've been weaving it with you for a long time.
Yeah, weaving
vegan weave.
I love it. So first, a big giant thank you, and I'm giving you a big giant hug.
And right back at you.
Ooh, I got chills. Okay, so you know both of you are amazing, right?
We like to think so. I mean, we love what we do, thank heaven, because, you know, running restaurants can be very challenging, but it makes a big difference in many, many people's lives, and we're already feeding a fourth generation. So we know that, you know, there's some continuity here that at a personal level pleases me a lot, and I'm sure it pleases Joy.
There's a lot of people, a lot of vegetarians and vegans that are kind of nutty about food and obsessed about getting really delicious food, and many of us talk about starting restaurants. And we certainly need a lot more vegan restaurants out there if we're going to really change the world in a big way.
Right.
But any kind of restaurant is hard to run. How is it that you've had the success that you've had?
You know, I think that when I ruminate on what you just said, it's those are all the tenets and principles by which we open the restaurant with. You know, I know that we love to tell the story that it was, I'm a nutritionist by training, I was working with individual clients in private practice and for many physicians all over Manhattan, and it was the way that it made people feel that has motivated us to continue doing what we do. So it is the mission behind the restaurant that is keeps us on point and keeps us continuing to produce the most delicious vegan or food.
Yeah, well, you definitely feel it and you definitely taste it. I know a lot of people that open up restaurants, what they end up doing is getting a bunch of people that are paid minimum wage, whatever, to end up managing and running the restaurant, and they kind of disappear. But you're always present at both of your restaurants for the majority of time, and I know that that's an important part of why you've been successful.
Yes, and we also have phenomenal people that work with us that do wonderful jobs of producing and blessing this food. Like, we really know the importance of feeding people and how sacred it really is. We talk about, you know, this is quite an honor to be able to give people something that they put in their bodies to nourish their body, mind, and spirit. And we take that very seriously.
Right.
So whether we're there or not there, we're always sending blessings, and we're always, you know, empowering those who are there to do it. Because, as you know, Karen, we have Candle 79 cookbook coming out in November.
Yeah, tell me more about that. What's going to be in that cookbook?
That cookbook is full of delicious and easy to prepare meals. I mean, the cover of the book has a sesame and nori crusted seitan, and it serves on a bed of soba noodles, and it has the beautiful watermelon radish on top. So it's everything. We have also, I don't know if you've had this before, but we have a peanut butter chocolate bliss at the restaurant.
Oh, of course.
So the chocolate bliss is in the book, and that is so much fun and easy to prepare. And,
really?
And Chef Jorge Pineda and Angel Ramos are the co-authors on this book, and they've been blessing us with their beautiful food and energy probably for 15 years.
Wow, that's dedication, and it just shows how there's just so much integrity and belief in what you're doing.
Thank you.
It's also a reflection, Karen. I was thinking when I knew we were going to be talking with you today, that if we were doing this interview 10 years ago, probably would have been along similar lines. But I have found something we've been using. We've been getting happily interviewed, a lot of media coverage because of the book, because of our whole, you know, we have a wholesale line out of Whole Foods as well. But it's really customer driven. You know, it's not about bragging. People want this. They want it bad. It's like a lot of smart people eating good food is what I say. And unfortunately, you know, we have a very devoted following, clientele, as I said, fourth generation. But the general public, in many ways, is still not getting it. And we're paying the bills for that, I'm afraid. That's another partism there. All this obesity in the country, people not being in good shape, not being healthy. We're the ones carrying the burden of that, literally
right.
and figuratively. So I'm not too happy about it.
Well, what so many people don't realize is our tax dollars, and we've got so many people in office now talking about not raising taxes, but many of the taxes that we're paying go to keep us sick and poison the environment.
Right.
And that has to change, because meat and dairy products are subsidized. Giant agribusiness is subsidized, and we all pay for that. So when they're getting an inexpensive dollar meal, it really costs everyone so much money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that our passion, Karen, is to work with the schools. We're working very closely with the New York Coalition for Healthy School Food. We've had a chef in a school in Harlem, and we've been developing plant-based recipes that are now being used and available to all New York City schools. Actually, not just the city, actually, it's the boroughs as well.
All New York. Now, let me ask you, how does that fit into the government USDA-approved school lunch program in terms of what schools get reimbursed for?
Well, that's a great question, and the reimbursement is so small, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a dollar a day once you take out administrative fees, et cetera. And that fits in by we're developing recipes based on what's available. Like, I'm given lists of this is what we can purchase. Now, not all of it is commodity, and most of it not commodity, because commodity is usually the meat, I believe.
Mm-hmm. But they do have beans and some, a lot of it's canned. And some whole grain products in their commodity list.
So we're able to use whatever's on their list
right.
and come up with recipes that adhere to their standards.
Yeah, it's crazy what some of their standards are
yes.
in terms of nourishing our children and future generations.
Like, that is the part that is so sad and so motivates me every day to keep doing it, because we owe these kids a good life and a good health, and without starting them now, I mean, you know, we're seeing fatty streaks in very young children already.
Right.
Yeah.
Diabetes is on the rise in bigger numbers than we ever thought, and now we're saying that our children are not going to outlive their parents.
Yeah. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
I mean, parents have to wake up. We all have to wake up. We're all in this together, and it's a grassroots movement. And we're all responsible.
But there's kind of a cyclical catch-22 that's vortexing us down the drain, because when we're eating food that isn't feeding our brain, we're not as intelligent as we can be.
Yeah, right.
And it's dumbing us down, and that just encourages us to be robotic and listen to all the commercials. And
exactly.
And one of the things, these fertile minds, you know, they really know what's, they're so receptive to when we go into a school and do a food demo. The kids are so receptive. They come around the table. They want to learn. They try foods they've never tried before. They become so empowered to be their own chef at home. They end up coming back, and I hear stories about now they're cooking for the family.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So there's a lot of progress being made, and I guess I like to focus on that because the other part is not
right.
very encouraging to me.
Absolutely. We need to focus on the joy.
Exactly.
Well, our Joy, phenomenal program she's got there, Karen. She does what's called family dinner night in conjunction with that, because we find we have to get to the households as, when the kids go home.
Mm-hmm.
The parents as well, unfortunately, don't have the, well, what can I say, the knowledge and skills to address what we'll call healthy eating. Hopefully plant-based nutrition, not
right.
always, but at least to step it up a notch and find out the difference between a fresh tomato and a canned item.
Oh, please, yes. I was just talking with Barry Esterbrook, who wrote the book Tomato Land, which is heart-wrenching to learn about most of the conventional tomatoes that are being grown in Florida and how there's slavery connected to the growing of those tomatoes.
Oh, wow.
So not only are those tomatoes tasteless and have, like, next to no nutrition, but there is just a nightmare surrounded about
yeah.
it. That's just the tomato, folks.
And I think what you said, too, is that we're allowing farmers to get sick because they're growing with these
yeah.
very detrimental herbicides and pesticides, and they're not well from it.
Yeah. So every bite that we eat is connected to so many things, but when you go to a restaurant like Candle Cafe or Candle 79, wow. It's all love and deliciousness and nutrition and peace and wellness, and why shouldn't every bite be that way? So
I love what you say about mindful eating. It's like we need to start eating mindfully.
Right.
I mean, how many New Yorkers eat so unconsciously because they're running from one meeting to the next, or... You know, so we really do have to stop and not only look at our plate and see what's on it and where it's come from and the history, like, of the tomato or the history of what's happening with the farmer, and then we have to see how we're putting it into our body so we can actually assimilate it and use it as nourishment.
So speaking of the farmer, where do you get a lot of your organic produce? I know most of the food is organic. Maybe some of it you can't get in organic, but I know that you strive to get a lot of it organic and as local as possible. Where does that come from?
Well, this time of the year, it's peak. We're happily in the East Coast here from April till December now. Quick aside, they say that climate change is allowing for longer growing seasons. And it used to cut off in November, now they go to December.
It's funny how you see it that way.
Unbelievable. Well, yeah, I mean, they're growing things, as you probably read, in places where things have never grown before, you know,
yep.
Greenland or whatever. But most of our really are upstate New York. And we were fortunate, one of our top guys, Mountain Dell Farm, who's part of the Northeast Organic Association, his farm, he survived 70% of his crops after Hurricane Irene. His friends and neighbors got really badly.
I was going to ask
yeah.
you about that. Yeah, a lot
oh,
of farmers
bad,
were
you know,
hit.
So we saw a piece on the news this morning about there hardly going to be any big pumpkins this season because pumpkin crops got wiped out everywhere. And then locally, closer to home, we have wonderful Guy Jones, a former lawyer turned farmer many years ago. He has Bloomingdale Farm right over in Chester, New York.
Mm.
And then we supplement with a lot of local growers. Joy, we just say Long Island, New Jersey, Connecticut. We seem to have specialists in every category. Like we have a mushroom person, we have a tomato person, you know, some of them overlap, greens and so on. We've been getting late corn in still right
mm.
now.
I think this area has the best corn anywhere.
Yeah.
Candle Cafe has a corn on the cob as a side today, and it's grilled, and it's served with a chili aioli.
Oh, gosh, I didn't eat before this show. I'm having a problem. well, everything is delicious there.
But in the wintertime, of course, we have to go back to California and Florida. There's no way,
right.
You know, January, February, March, you know, you can't. Some greenhouse stuff comes in. You know.
Mm-hmm. Our edamame is grown organically.
Right. Yeah.
All good.
On Long Island.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't have a problem with shipping food from other places during the seasons where it's necessary. And I think a lot of people think that locally grown is so much more important than organic and plant-based, and they've got it wrong. I mean, we should definitely grow as much and eat locally as much as we can, but organic is so much more important. And the big one, folks, is plant foods versus animal foods. No matter where you get them, plant is better.
Right.
And now we're in very good company with plant-based diet and nutrition.
Yeah, so talk about that. You started back in 1988, Bart and Joy, with Candle Cafe, or
well,
was it the juice bar originally?
Originally, Healthy Candle started in 84.
Mm-hmm.
Joy and I met in 87, and then in 94 we created what was called the Candle Cafe, which was one of our fun stories. Was created with $53,000 won in the New York lottery at the time.
Is that what we have to do to start a restaurant, win the lottery?
Well, I like to add a few zeros to that. If you needed a lot more than that, but it was very inspiring. And Joy, as Joy says, you know, once you commit, Providence provides. And people love that story.
We were so committed to healing people with food because I was studying nutrition in school, and I knew that there was so much power in food as medicine.
Now, did you figure that out yourself, or were you learning that in school? Because a lot of nutritionists don't know that.
I guess I learned it a lot myself by working after I got my education. But I could use my education in order to corroborate that was the truth. I mean,
right.
I have a great story. My grandfather was a physician, an old-time physician, which used to make house calls, and he actually, in his office after he passed away, he had a file on every disease and the nutritional remedy.
Wow.
So he was very ahead of his time, so I felt like I almost got it through my genes as well. Like, he knew the power of nutrition and was studying it, and when he would do grand rounds, he would look at that. But I think he was very ahead of his time.
Do you still have those files?
Yeah, those files, though, were very much mainstream nutrition. It was... I don't have them anymore, but they were also printed. You know, they were printed from food companies, and he had collected a lot of data. I don't have space, Karen, to collect.
That's
and I don't
good
think
for
we were
you.
Scanning. We weren't scanning things then.
No.
I'm going to age myself now a lot.
Yeah, but that's really a good point because a lot of people collect a lot of stuff, and it just builds up, and it's really useless. I'm a believer in purging.
Yes.
Cleansing and
thank
purging.
Thank you, thank you.
And that's true of our physical space and as well as our bodies.
Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Okay, let's talk about your new line of frozen foods.
Let's talk about them.
We love that.
Yeah, what's in them? Where are they? Where can we find them? And why do we want to eat them?
They are in Whole Foods Market. We have a year exclusive with Whole Foods.
Okay.
There are four varieties, a ginger miso stir fry, a tofu spinach ravioli, a macaroni and vegan cheese.
Oh, that's probably the winner.
And that is so decadent, and it's so comforting, and it's so delicious. And then we have a seitan piccata with a lemon caper butter sauce.
Oh, your signature dish.
Yes.
Great. Wow.
And they've been out since June. Well, I have to say nationwide. I think most Whole Foods are carrying it. And the initial sales have been quite good.
Mm-hmm.
And if your Whole Foods isn't carrying it, you could certainly request that they bring it in.
Great. That's very, very exciting. You know, I really encourage people for the most part to find their kitchens in their home.
I do too, actually.
And get in there and use them. But, you know, most people buy food prepared in a store and go out to eat in restaurants. And certainly if they're going to do that, they should make the best choices. And I'm sure that your four selections are probably some of the better ones that they could make.
I agree. And it's also, you can always guarantee that it's 100% plant-based.
And I think we're the first restaurant that's doing a vegan restaurant-level, you know, organic frozen food. And you'll find it. Part of the proceeds from the sales, by the way, go to the Humane Society, and parts going to Farm Sanctuary.
Very nice.
We have that whole. So there's a nice story on the back of the box about, you know, the history of all that and us and so on. And our picture's even on the back of the box. So you can't miss it.
It says missing. It's like a milk carton.
Oh,
so
great.
Joy with the new Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward.
That's right. Oh, good. Well, it's so important. And there aren't many restaurateurs in the vegan world that are as present as both of you and as giving to so many nonprofits and helping so many different groups. You're more than just restaurants, clearly.
Yeah, without doubt.
We would we'd like to think so, and we certainly strive to do that. We donate a lot, and we also are really active in our community because we do feel that nutrition is the basis for, you know, I say world peace. I think I took that from Michio Kushi, but world peace begins in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So what have you seen in the last, since 1984, that's almost, not quite 30 years, but what have you seen change in the three decades?
Well, two quick things about that. First, I want to point out, and Joy always reminds me of this because I don't always believe it, but about 80% of our customers are not vegetarian or vegan. They just like the food.
Right.
So we've achieved the idea of making something tasty and delicious. I think the organic buzzword is as big as the vegan buzzword in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part for me is there are more men coming on board now. It was very women.
Oh,
all these
okay.
Things, yoga, are all women-driven, as you ladies probably know. I tell those men out there, single, hopefully, that if they want to meet the best babes in town, hang out and health food restaurants.
Real men eat tofu quiche.
Yes.
And as John Joseph puts it in his book, meat is not for pussies.
Not for pussies.
Or meat is for pussies.
Yes.
There we go. An interesting title, but, you know, he has a good market and knows
he's phenomenal, and there's a lot of great data in that book.
Mm-hmm.
Another big thing that's happened, and Joy maybe want to give you more details on, is the catering part. We couldn't do that years ago, nor did we get the requests. We now do weddings, engagement parties, you know what I'm saying, as a request item, some of which we can handle in the room at 79 because of the upstairs, but off-site, we do a lot of stuff now that we couldn't do years ago. Frankly, there wasn't the demand. So
I believe, Karen, one of the things you just asked is in the three decades, I think it's become more mainstream.
Right.
I still think it is niche, but I think it is more mainstream, and I think it has its reputation has gotten a little better. Like, it's not the Birkenstock crowd that, you know, what do they call us in a lot of our reviews?
The hippie days.
Granola eating and hippie and... And I think it's become more of the educated consumer. People now know that this is a lifestyle that actually is medically ordained. It's medically, I don't want to say proven, but for us it's proven. But it's certainly got a lot more research and support behind it.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I hate to make this kind of parallel, but we recently recognized the 10th year anniversary of September 11th and that life-changing, horrible event where over 3,000 people died and more died afterwards from the health effects from all the stuff that was in the air. We lost a lot of people in that day. But what we don't talk about is over 600,000 people every year dying from heart disease alone, not even talking about other diseases, and it's completely reversible and preventable. And fortunately, there was a little thing on CNN recently with Sanjay Gupta talking about it.
Right, yeah.
And that was great. But why? How does this happen that these numbers are staggering? We have epidemics of things that are preventable.
Yeah.
Right, right. I'm afraid a lot of it's feeling like survival of the fittest in many ways. It really is, because one of the many cliches I use, even my little blue book, because that was affirmation book, is, you know, when you feel good, life is a lot easier. And this kind of food, this way of living, makes you feel good. I mean, the kind of days, Joy, and you too, I know. We'll put in, like, if we have to, we can go 16 hours and still have something left for our own life. And, you know, people aren't used to feeling that good. They've come to accept a lower level of, lower playing field of health and vitality. And then, you know, every other commercials for a drug.
Yeah. Yeah, it's mind-boggling. Yeah, I like to tell people, you have no idea how good you can feel. You just have no idea.
Exactly.
But I think that's what happened to me is that I had studied all this in school, and I was, you know, nutrition, and I had studied so much. But when I tasted Bart's food, I was working for a physician around the corner doing groups of people to talk about nutrition, and I was seeing patients one-on-one, and I would be eating with Bart every day, but it wasn't until I felt it in my own body that the power of what this food did for me. And that's why I am so committed to sharing that with everybody,
now,
or anybody who wants to listen.
Okay, now you guys, you guys are very popular. You're celebs in this world, and you've changed a lot of lives. Are there any particular individual stories where people have told you how what you've done has just changed their lives?
Oh, too quickly. I mean, we get common cards. We must have shopping bags full of them. They'll go into our system, and 99.9% put out the totally overwhelmingly popular with the most significant, meaningful things people say. Everything from I had a headache all day until I came to your restaurant, ate your food, and the headache went away. I've traveled all around the world. It's the best vegan food I've ever had. I mean,
yeah.
It's like you couldn't find your mother to write this stuff for you. People are just like flipping out. And it's very contributory. I mean, people, I think what Joy's achieved in particular, and I like to think me too, we've made people be part of what we do. We're not separating ourselves from our client base and our friends and loved ones who come and enjoy our food. You know, we're involved in their lives, their organizations. You know, not only are we organic and vegan, but we're green, we're animal friendly, we're environmental. So on a given day, we're touching base with everyone from Joan Goodall to Paul McCartney, if you will. That's our range of so-called well-known people have taken us under their wing and, you know, when they're around, love our food.
Right.
And they spread the word.
And also, like, I'm thinking of a story of a woman who every time she would come in from Jersey to get chemotherapy.
Oh, right.
And that she would eat with us every time she came in. So she told us that it made chemotherapy, you know, bearable, pleasant, you know, that she knew she could look forward to a meal. So it really, like, you know, it varies to how we contribute. You know, some people come in well and want to be better and have more energy. They're a professional athlete. To somebody who's not well, who's chosen to take diet on as their sole modality in healing, or somebody who's using it in conjunction with Western medicine, who is relying on us for their health and well-being.
You know, it's interesting you bring up someone on chemotherapy and going to your restaurant, because I recently started doing food demos and catering for people that have been through cancer and want to learn about healthy vegan diets. And I recently did one, and I was talking about how when I was on chemotherapy, sometimes I would go to your restaurant. And the woman who had been through the treatment said, I'm surprised to hear you went to a restaurant, because she didn't have any energy to do that. And I'm not promoting chemotherapy. I don't even know if it really works. But I went through it, and a lot of the things that I did, I really cleaned up my diet. It was really a green focus, green juicing, lots of supplements. My doctor said I sailed through it. I had a lot of energy through chemo, and I was able to eat at Candle Cafe. And
what better testament than that?
It was my diet. I mean, not only did it get me through disease, it got me through my treatment, and it works.
Yep.
And then, okay, so we're coming to the end of this little luscious segment. And, of course, the thing that I have to repeat, because it is so important to me, is while I was going through that whole nightmare, which really wasn't very nightmarish in hindsight, because I was surrounded by love, and I remembered you, Joy, telling me that love heals. And I want to leave everyone with that, because that's the most important thing. And there is so much love in your food. So eat Candle food, and you'll be filled with love.
Thank you, Karen. We say, may the vegan force be with you.
Yeah, the vegan force. So when's your new cookbook coming out?
Cookbook Joy,
November 1st, 2011. Karen, thank you for sharing that story. It's so important. And
yeah,
it means so much to me.
Yeah, my eyes are all wet right now. So, great.
I love you both.
Thank you for everything. And keep doing it. Keep feeding
cooking.
Us.
Keep cooking.
We have a lot more we will share with you and your listeners. So anytime you want to call upon us.
Okay. CandleCafe.com, Candle79.com. Check it out. Okay. I'm Karen Hartglass. We're going to be taking a quick break, and we'll be right back.